Following interview is with Mr. Reynold Geiger at his home in Hillsboro on August 10, 1978. In this oral history, Mr. Geiger concentrates his discussion on the Indian stories and Indian sites based on information passed down from his ancestors.
Good morning, Mr. Geiger.
Good morning.
To start out with, I would like to have you introduce yourself.
I'm Reynold Geiger. And I was born in Canada, 1902. Some part of the family, my brothers and sisters, some of them were born in Forest Grove. I don't know whether any of them was born out on the farm, Geiger homestead.
You were born on the Geiger homestead?
No, I was born right in Cornelia, just about a block from the old park that used to be there. The yellow house that used to be out. I don't know where the house is standing or not. Of course, I was pretty young then, but I was told, I remember when Mother used to take me around visiting other places there when I was real young.
You have quite a family history, I think, in this area. Could you briefly tell the story of the Geiger family first arriving here in Oregon, and where they came from, and what year they came from?
Well, I'd have to look up part of the story. And I've got the dates of when they were born, my granddad's kids, and that. I have that here. You probably have a copy now.
Yeah. Well, why don't you just give approximate dates?
They were born in 1860. And that's the reason they named him Fremont Lincoln. Things were a couple years late, by the time they got here. And they heard about the debate Lincoln and Fremont had him, and they'd run for president. I guess Fremont was probably running too. They have debate. They heard about him, so they named him Fremont Lincoln. He went by the name of Link most of the time. And that they called him that.
Your grandfather then was the first Geiger to arrive here.
Yes, he came in 1839 when he first got here. And he had quite a history to start with. I got a letter someplace around that I got over at Salem. They looked it up for me. The piece of property that he took up first was over there. And it said something about it. I forgot just what it said in the letter now. I just read it over once and I put away something. I'll run across it if I go over my snow.
1839 is a really early year for people arriving in Oregon.
Yeah.
How did your grandfather first come over here? Or do you know why he came to this area? All right, we've established then your father was a teacher at the mission down in
Well, he went to school back to New York, and most everybody that went to school long enough was a teacher.
He came out to...
He was interested in the missionary work. That's what he was started out to be. I don't know whether he studied to be a doctor later on too. But those days, you know, they didn't have to have too much of an education. He was over at the Whitman Mission for a while too. I got a bigger talk to Indian children at the Methodist Mission near Wheatland during the winter of 1839 and 1840.
From this letter then, it indicates that your grandfather was motivated by his missionary zeal to teach?
Well, not perfectly to teach, you know, he wanted to come here, it's a new country and everything, young fella, and he would just like most of the people that travel someplace that way. I know if I'd been living then, I'd been anxious to come.
You never knew your grandfather then? Personally?
No, but...
were quite a few stories?
Almost like it then, I've known him.
How was that, do you think?
You know, he probably wouldn't believe me, but he's been around, his spirit's been around. He did a lot of things for me. So far, he's been working around here too, lately, in some way. He was helping the doctors all over the hospital, so, of course, that shouldn't be told, because he isn't supposed to do too much things that way.
Well, he came initially to teach then. When did he settle here in
It's just like anybody that goes to a new country, he came to kind of be a missionary, you might say. That's what he was interested in.
And how did he happen to settle here in Cornelius then with the farm?
Well, it's a good place. I hadn't got all of it in here, but spring of 1840, Dr. Geiger went to California on a sailboat out with the Russians. Settlement on Boudica Bay. The Russians would not allow him to leave by land. So he continued on to San Francisco. The authorities refused to allow him to land because he had no passport. He then went to Honolulu where he taught school for I don't know, 7 months, I think it was, or something at that rate, receiving $30. In February 1841, having procured a passport, he left Honolulu on an American ship, Los Angeles, WSAMME for Monterey and later went to San Francisco and the Coast Bowl. At the time, San Francisco was a small place. The Hudson Bay Company had a double log house there, and there was a combined saloon and billiard hall, and a partly finished hotel containing about 100 people full, half of whom were transient.
Mm-hmm.
After a short time at San Francisco, Dr. Geyer went across the bay to a point opposite to Amityville City and secured some cattle. Took him up the river to Sutter's Fort, where he remained until spring of 1842, and in the meantime, surveyed Captain Sutter's claim for him, and had charge of the fort while the captain went to Monterey for supplies. He gave to Dr. Geyer for his services land 3 miles square, situated in the fork of the Yuba and Feather Rivers.
When did he come up to Cornelius then, back to Oregon?
Well, he was back to Oregon before.
Did he settle on a donation land claim?
Well, he took up a claim as some this Methodist mission, and then he gave that up. You know, they put had a mission there. He gave it up for that purpose. And later on, they come here and took up land claim afterwards.
There must have been quite
but
a few.
He went back. You see, he was supposed to find a place down in California for those settlers. But he gives it in here, I think.
Mm-hmm. Were there quite a few Indians here when he settled here in Cornelius on his land?
I don't know how many it was. They were different places around. Of course, they were around Gaston. There were some of them. I don't know where all the camps were, but they had different places around.
What were some of the stories that were passed down to you that you're...
Well, there wasn't any... You probably heard that there was some kind of a battle, you know, over out north here. You've heard about that. That one Indian was... in with the white people there, when those Indians came down from the up in the Clickett, that Indian came down to
mm-hmm.
fight.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that was told by your father to you?
No, he said something about it, not very much.
Well, you know then of the Klickitat site over here in Iowa Hill?
Well, if they were from Klickitat in the first place, they wasn't in with the that click at that group, according to what they told me, that there was only a few of them, and they didn't want trouble with anybody over here on Fern Hill.
The Indians there?
Yeah.
Originally?
That's what they told me. They couldn't see any reason for fighting.
Who told you this?
Those Indians did. The old lady, old squaw.
Who are these Indians you talk with then?
Huh?
Who are these Indians that you talk with? How do you know them?
Those two?
Yes.
She introduced herself when she heard my name of Geiger. She said that they used to stay on my granddad's place. You know, they camped there in the summer. And they built up on the hill in the winter. And that my granddad was always good to them, because these peaches were ripe, but he would give them peaches, and he'd let them camp. And there's other fruit that he had too, apples and things, that he'd give to them. And that he wouldn't let his kids run the deer with dogs, like a lot of the rest of them did. You know. He said they depend mainly on deer for their food in the winter. And the deer were so scarce around here, they got so scarce that they had a hard time making a living. Sometimes it would be nearly a week before they had to go without anything to eat.
These are the Indians you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what the Indians said. That it's pretty tough, but when they got to running them deer with their dogs, why, they sort of kill them off and run them out of the country. Scare the deer away.
These Indians then, that you talk with, they had lived at your grandfather's farm all these years?
They didn't say that. They came from some other place, they must have, because they weren't as old as the ones my mother talked to up on Highway Hill. They're the ones that told about on top of a hill where they could see around, and pointed out to my mother the different peaks that their ancestors back used to go across to in canoes. They'd go over there, those peaks of hunting and so forth.
Huh.
This whole valley was flooded at that time.
Your mother told you this story?
Yeah, that the Indians told her.
Your mother knew quite a few Indians?
There wasn't many in that group. There was only about three or four left when she talked to them.
These lived on Iowa Hill then?
Iowa Hill, yeah.
Did your mother ever mention what year this might have been?
No, I don't remember what year. I probably asked her a lot of questions, but I don't remember. I was interested in the Indians.
What year do you think, approximately? What decade, maybe?
I'd have to go where?
Before 1900, do you think?
It'd be before 1900. It'd be long. I was married. a fall. So it would be before that time, before 93. Sometime before then.
Do you think they were Tualatin Indians? Or Native Indians?
Well,
in the
Tualatin
Valley?
You would call them Tualatin Indians, the ones up there. They were, but the different Indians around, from what they told me, they wasn't so much one group. They independent, more independent, and they respect the group that's not far from them, their rights, you know, wouldn't quarrel with them. They didn't get too friendly, they didn't get too friendly with them. Because she said that if you get too friendly with him, you're bound to find something to quarrel about and have a falling out over it. And they wanted to get along.
This was your family and the Indians?
The Indians around. They picked certain places to hunt, and they didn't go over thought of the other Indians much when they went back up on the, they'd go back up on the hills and places, you know. And certain places they'd hunt in order not to bother the other Indians too much.
The Indians then on Fern Hill were the Klickitats. Is that right?
Yeah.
And?
Well, I don't know whether they're the Klickitats or not, but that's where they took them. They're a different, little different tribe than the others, and they probably had some. Well, I never learned too much, only what I got from Dad, and this lady told me quite a lot, you know.
Is Fern Hill part of your property or grandfather's property?
Hills was my uncle. His granddad's oldest son, William Jr. He took up a homestead up there on Fern Hill. At that time, they couldn't take up a larger one. So I don't know just what it was, but here we went by the place up there where he took up.
Have you found Indian artifacts at all up there, or has some of your relatives found some?
Well, I never really looked for Indian artifacts. I just run across some things in different places. I'd be digging around and dug some up, some of those small stones, you know, they grind the food up with. And some of them had a nick out of them that way. And I didn't expect to take good care of them, and they all disappeared. You know how things that way do. You put them outside someplace. But you don't find too many artifacts unless you're looking for them. You can, well, you go someplace where they lived in caves or something like that, but it'd be easier to find the artifacts, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where they scattered around the ground, they disappear, they go in the ground. You have to wash the dirt in order to find them. They may dig them up, accidentally dig them up. Mm-hmm.
Who told you the story about the racetrack down there, the Indian racetrack?
Well, Dad told me about that. He will live them when they come in and they had their horse races there. Yeah, he said, he told me that round place, really.
Your father actually saw some of these horse races?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they when he was young, you know, they was around pretty often.
What did he say about these horse races? When?
Well, he didn't say much about them. But when he showed me where they led the horses down the water, you know, in that part.
Down to the Walton River.
About the camping place, and I asked him several times about that, and he finally, and I went over and looked around them, and I found that place where they made the arrowhead, the chips were there, you know. See, that kind of floods in the winter, the ground wasn't grubbed right in there right at that time. Yeah. And it was grubbed a little bit later.
That's where you showed us the stump there, or where the stump was?
No. No, that's over farther west where the camp was. It wasn't where the stump was. That stump was, it probably was a burial ground along there, because that where those that urn that granddad or dad when he plowed that he dug up. Why, that was probably a burial ground in there one time. They wouldn't necessarily have to be, but
where exactly was that? Was that in this area then?
Well, it was over farther east.
Where was it that you mentioned these arrowhead chips? Where was that now?
That's down in the lower, down where they camped, down the Indian camp down next to the river. When they were down there.
What exactly was the find then?
Huh?
What exactly was it that was found there? What were they, arrowheads?
Well, they were chips where they made the arrowheads, and I found there some little arrowheads along in there too, when the water would come over and wash. Some years it washed some, that's when you find the arrowhead. Some years it'd fill in part of it and wash another place. Depends on the current, when it come across, that's how it was. Some years it just filled in. See, the dirt coming down the river when the water's up high, the river's kind of dirty. Then where it goes over the bank, well, maybe it will take dirt with it from one place and deposit some other.
Your father then saw these Indians that lived here in Fern Hill campsite.
Oh yeah, he'd been around the camp there and talked to them when they were there.
Did he ever describe what they looked like?
The Indians?
Yeah, what the Indians looked like.
No, he didn't necessarily. He didn't just look like ordinary people more. This old lady and her son, they were both of them pretty good size and tall.
Mm-hmm. Could you describe a little bit further what these two women that you talk with look like?
Well, just one was a woman, the other was her son. Well, you wouldn't know, really know there's Indians, just all family. You have to be told there's Indians, or they look like white people, are the same.
They weren't full-blooded Indians then?
Yeah, they were full-blooded.
They were?
Mm-hmm. You know, they even have blonde Indians some places.
Where exactly were these two Indian, that Indians that you knew were living?
There was when they was over at the Tlickitat Indian Reservation at that time, or when they come see me. They hung me up on purpose.
Why did they want to talk with you?
Well, they had a mine up there. They wanted to tell me about it. Said they'd rather see me get it than anybody. And
because you were related to your...
They told me all about it, yeah. Okay.
Because they knew your grandfather? Was that right?
Yeah, they thought a lot of him. And he was good to them. While they're there, he's always good to them.
What is the story about this gold mine, then?
Well, they used to go nearly every year up and get gold. And they'd get enough to do them for a year, about. Then they, when that would run out, they'd go up and get some more.
This was up in the Coast Range somewhere?
Yeah.
They said they would mine it, or dig it out?
They dug it out with sticks and so forth, and they taken, busted up by hitting one piece against the other. They take what they figured to do them for a while.
What did they
take and cover it up again? But they had another place before they. They told me about where this was, but I never dug it out. That it's hard to find anything unless you have some measurement, exact measurement to go by. If you're just gonna about so far down the hill, and they told me the different ways they've went in there, and the other way it was approximately about so far, but it wasn't quite. She wasn't real sure about that part of it, but he told me things had happened. The one that found it, he kind of disappeared from where they was, just for a few minutes. The rest of them were skinning out and dressing the deer they'd killed, and he walked down that way and looking around when he found it.
This was an Indian, you're saying?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
A Tlickitat Indian.
Well, he was Indian. I wouldn't necessarily say Tlickitat Indian, unless I was sure that that's where they came from in the first place.
Huh. When do you think this was discovered, approximately? When do you think they discovered it?
Well, they... I don't know how many trips they made to this one place. They'd only been working on that one chunk. They just had a chunk there, and there wasn't very much of it left. He said they about enough left for another trip. Maybe she didn't know whether it was quite enough or not in that spot. That's why I didn't do too much digging.
They were living at Fern Hill at the time when they discovered it?
Yeah. But they never, they were going to get other, well, left out, but they didn't do it because they sent a couple men up to stay at their camp to watch them. They thought they were getting the gold from some other place. They killed some of the settlers, you know, that had gold mines or something that way, and getting their gold. That's what they thought.
The white man thought this.
Yeah, some of them thought that, yeah. But they...
What did they do with the gold once they had it?
Well, the old Colonel Cornelius had a store one time. They'd take it down to him and buy groceries and things with it.
They would just use it as a as money.
Yeah, that's all they things, you know, that they liked me. They like coffee just like white people do.
What happened to the Klickitat Indians then? What happened to those group?
They took them to the Klickitat Reservation. That's where they took them.
Was that Grand Ronde or was that another place?
No. Klickitat Indian Reservation is across the river over in Washington. The Grand Ronde is in... They'd be different Indians. I don't know what tribe they belong to. They're the Calipuy Indians. You heard of them? I don't know where they belong to that one, but there was a Klamath and some more.
Was your father around when they took the Klickitat back to the reservation?
Yeah. Well, he was born in 1860.
When was it then that they took the Indians to the reservation?
Well, I don't know exactly. It was before 1900, shortly before 1900. It must have been long 98 or somewhere around there. Could have been a little earlier.
Did this woman and her son, Indian woman and her son, tell you anything else about living in that area?
All of me about, they told me. Dad bought a basket and gave that sewing basket mother had. Dad bought from her, she made it for him.
The Indian woman had made it.
Yeah.
Her. Going back to these Indians on Iowa Hill then, your mother must have known quite a few Indians then.
There wasn't quite a few. They they'd have, well, there wasn't much in that much.
Yeah.
She said they were older than they, the rest of them around here. That is, they'd been there longer than they, the rest of them, but said they had moved around some. They didn't stay in one place all the time. Mm-hmm.
What stories were you able to get from your mother when you asked these questions about the Indians?
She didn't say much about it. They just go up and talk to them a little. That way they visited them several times. Well, she lived not far from there. But that was a place mother told me when the Indians were there, that where they camped. but I never had anybody show me the exact spot. But that road that used to go over there, it didn't have all those side branches and this way and that way. And I used to go over there. Well, the name of Loudon, Jim Loudon, lived along the creek here. I think it's Jim, his first name. And from where he lived, I figured to fish it down the creek. Gets a lot of these little mountain trout. I never especially got him to show me or anything.
Were they arrowheads, more or less?
Well, I said something about the arrowhead pound something. I don't think he pound any large amount. He don't, usually don't pound a large amount because they happen to have an awful lot of them in order to you find many. See, when they shoot them and lose them, that would be out where they're hunting. They try to find them again after they shoot them, probably, because it's a little work making them.
Huh. How about this sweat house that you showed us? What was the what had you heard about that?
Well, you know how those sweat houses work, don't you? Or have you ever heard?
Yeah, basically. Like a sauna, more or less.
They take some heat the rocks up ahead of time, you know. Get the rocks real hard. And when they go in there, they throw cold water on the rocks and then the steam comes up and makes them sweat.
How do you know about this sweat house there? Who had told you about it?
My dad told me about that. Pretty sure it had that.
Where was this now?
Well, he told me right very close to where it was.
How did he know? Did he actually see the sweat house?
I suppose. Changes in a year. It sure changed a lot from, you know, where that trail was that we walked a little ways on. Well, that led right down. First, it went in a little ways farther, and you could go like that guy the slope right down there in the shallow water down in there. You know, you could walk right down there, it was kind of a long gradual slope, and you go right down the bank in the shallow part. It's all the water, some of it. And the deeper water, which, well, where you first go down, there's kind of a hole there on the side. You know, on the way going down there, that was a little bit deeper. But that's all washed out in there now. It looks a lot different than it used to. We used to go down there and you could drink the water. It tastes just as good or better than the water comes out the faucet here now. I first used to drink that water. We used to go out and cut wood out there. Cut the winter's wood. That was the 42 and a half acres there that was Dad's share of it, the farm. And that's on down the creek where the Indians used to camp. Why, that was my uncle's. And it was all divided up between different ones. when the railroad grade was here. You know, the end was here for a while, and then it went on up around towards Gaston. Well, they were working down around the hill. They had a watchman on the grade with a gun. Anybody wasn't supposed to pull around where their stuff was, you know. That young Indian from their camp came down. They had a trail around the side of the hill. And he came down and was walking in town here, towards town, with a, on their railroad grade. And this watchman seen him down there where the stuff was, you know, come and shot him. Just rolled him off, body off over in the grave, and he covered him up. Huh.
This was when they were building the railroad?
Yeah. Then I heard about it later on from one of the fellows working at the time.
Nothing ever happened to the watchman then?
No, they didn't know where they didn't know where the Indian went. No, the watchman was just supposed to look after things, wasn't supposed to let anybody in there. Of course, that's one way of doing it. If it'd been a white person, it would have been the same way.
Were there several Indians in the Gaston area when they were building this railroad?
What?
Were there several Indians in the Gaston area when they were?
Well, this was around the hill. I don't know, they had trouble with some of the railroad around the hill. They had soft spots in it, you know, slide and so forth. They had to make quite a fill some places there. But that's just one of the things that happened.
You mentioned one time to me about a burial ground.
Well, that was, I could probably show you pretty close to the spot where that was. There was some kind of burial ground there. And I went down there and looked and seen there's some hair on a piece of burlap, and the bones was, you know, they disappear when they're exposed to the air. After they've been in there so long, when you first dig them, you could see what there was, but then in a short time, they just looked like the rest of the dirt. That's the way it is with bones when they've been there a long time.
This was something that they dug up when they were built?
Well, there was some burlap there, and the hair, it still showed that somebody's been buried there. And burlap, you know, was buried in, it was wrapped in that or something or other, used for some purpose.
They didn't know about it until they start building there then.
They said they heard something about it. Indian burial ground.
All right. So far we've talked about the Klickitat Indians, the Tualatin Indians, their sites on Fern Hill and Iowa Hill, and a few of the stories. Is there anything else that you'd like to add about what we've talked about or something that we have forgotten?
No, I don't think so. No, I'm not sure about that Council Creek. I heard that that's where the Indians had their meetings, and it could have been where the white people met too.
Council Creek. Council?
Over here creek. I can show you the creek. From Cornelius, you go towards the, out north, that cemetery there. Well, before you get to the cemetery, there's a little bridge there across the creek. That creek goes on, you know, where the slaughterhouse used to be. Jacob's Mills. Mm-hmm. Well, it's still one of the Jacob's Mills has a slaughterhouse there. It's still one that's been there. A big one, why they have run that creek by one, I guess. But that same creek comes on down there. It runs in the Dairy Creek. I don't know just where it is. It runs in Dairy Creek now. I forgot that.
Huh. And what's
that Conto Creek, a place up near Forest Grove, right off Forest Grove a little ways, but it used to be meetings.
Who told you about
it? They called it. That was why it was named Conto Creek.
I
asked Dad about it.
Your father told you about
it? He told me about that, Conto Creek. Well, I'm not sure now whether it was. It was where the white people met there or not. But.
Right. Huh. Well, that's interesting. Was there any artifacts or Indian things found in that area?
No, you don't find those things. You don't find artifacts unless it's just accidentally. There'd have to be a lot of artifacts in order to find them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if there was the same kind of metal that we use, like take metal detector and go find them. But
right.
Otherwise, you don't find the artifacts. You know, they can be a place where there ought to be a whole lot of artifacts. You figure by a mile of people and things and.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to those places, you don't find anything until you start digging.
Mm-hmm.
Because every year, there's a little layer, it gets a little bit deeper. Every place around. And
mm-hmm.
It's the same way every year. There's a certain amount of depth comes out of the air that makes it a little deeper.
Huh.
There's that Port Arthur meteorite. You've heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go find it someplace, but if you don't find it pretty quick, it's going to be clear covered up. There's just a little bit left up, sticking out now. It's almost covered up, and it was up there. 4 or 5 feet.
Then are there any other stories that you remember? That's about it then, pretty much so.
Yeah. I didn't hear a lot of the stories of the settlers.
What question I do have?
There was one that I told you that one about my great-grandfather, Reverend J.H. Cornwall, J.A. Cornwall.
This was back east?
No. He had a couple of boxes, wood boxes. And
this is your.
They kept those, they come, they'd look at those boxes. Finally, he showed them what he had in there. They were full of books. They didn't bother him anymore, but he kind of scared them at first. There's something they wanted in those boxes. Well,
this is your grandfather?
Your great-grandfather.
Your great-grandfather on your mother's side?
Yeah. No, and my father's side.
And his name was Cornwall?
It was my grandfather's wife's father.
Huh. Where was this? Was this here in Oregon?
You ever heard about Cabin Creek?
So you can go ahead and have this. This is your copy.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
my great-grandfather, right, the Presbyterian minister, like, you've read about him?
No.
He helped start churches around places and so forth.